It is good to see you here. We have with us this morning several who are not with us on every occasion that we meet. Good to see those that are visiting with us. Some of our folks are away, getting away for a little vacation. Hopefully they will have a safe journey and return to us. And we pray that those who are with us that will be traveling will also have a safe journey. Also of note is the fact that there are several mothers here among us. Much attention is paid today to mothers, and that's okay. We can respect and honor mothers. But while doing so, let's serve God and let's do His will. I think it fitting that we investigate something today that is much needed in our society, and that is mothers, but a specific type of mothers. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31, verses 26 and following. We're going to see a passage here that is oftentimes read, sometimes even at funerals and that sort of thing. But it talks about a woman. It begins, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her husband, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Again, this morning, all over the place where folks are meeting to worship God, mothers are being remembered. This is the day our nation has set aside to honor mothers and has set aside a holiday, Mother's Day. And there's nothing wrong with honoring mothers. Mothers are of great importance. Stop and think for just a moment where you would be without motherhood. But our purpose here this morning is to worship God, to serve God this day and every Lord's Day. When we gather, we are to look to God's people, call attention to those who are faithful and serving God, and mothers. Faithful mothers are those that do. Our text this morning is about a virtuous woman who also happens to be a mother. Looking out on this audience, I realize that there are some women who are not mothers. That's just the way things work out. Or some are not old enough or have not married and have not had that joy of motherhood. But the passages prior to our text talks of some things that the virtuous woman does. So we want to take some time this morning to discuss the types of mothers that are needed in our society today. The types of mothers that are needed in the church. First, mothers or those who might become mothers that have great faith. You cannot devalue faith, proper faith. As we read in our scripture reading, we saw what had happened to Hannah. We saw that they had been at Shiloh, they had eaten, and she sat there and she prayed and wept sore. What was the source of her weeping? Her sorrow of heart, because she had not been granted the privilege and the honor of motherhood. And she was a faithful wife. She wanted a child, even to the point that she would give that child up. She vowed a vow. "If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." This child was to be a Nazarite, one who was to be dedicated to the Lord. Now I want you to look down in verse 20. And we see there that God granted her prayer. He allowed her to participate in the honor of motherhood. Even though she had vowed, even though she would fulfill that vow in giving that child up. to the service of the Lord. Verse 20 says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." This was all part of God's plan. Samuel was a dedicated follower of the Lord. He dedicated himself to the Lord all of his life. Now let's drop down to verse 24 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Notice that God did not expect her to immediately following her birth of her child to take the child and to entrust him to those of the temple. There was a process, and this process was allowed to be carried out. Verse 24 says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young." This child was her offspring. This that allowed her to be part of motherhood. And she, because she promised to God, and it's because she had great faith in God, did as she said. "And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. That, my friends, is great faith. Her child, as far as she knew at that point, that might would have been her only child. And she was willing to give that child to the service of the Lord, to the benefit of her people, that she might enjoy the privilege of motherhood. But notice that just being a mother did not diminish her faith. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. And as we turn there, we see a woman. We're not told whether or not she's a mother, but given her amount of time of her sickness, the amount of time she's had on the earth, and if she fulfilled the function of women, if married, to bear children, she could have been a mother. But remember, we're talking about mothers or those who might become mothers that have great faith. And that cannot be questioned with this woman. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment." She was timid. She didn't want to approach him and ask for this great favor. As we read and understand what has been going on, she'd been going to the doctors. She had sought their remedies. She had not been able to find a remedy for her particular disease. And she said, "If I just touch his garment, I can be whole." Jesus turned him about in verse 22 when he saw her and said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." We know that she was an Israelite. We know that she was a believer in God. We know that she realized and understood that Jesus Christ had the power to heal, and she had great faith. And her faith, not just the fact that she believed in God, that she believed that Jesus was the Christ, that she believed that Christ could heal, but that she did something because of her great faith. She went up in the middle of a group of people as they were following Christ, and as they thronged about him, and she reached out and deliberately took hold of the hem of his garment. One of the other accounts said virtue came out of him. And yes, she was healed. And the woman was made whole from that hour. It's interesting as you look at all of the miracles and the healings and the things that took place in the period of time just prior to the New Testament age. And even those that took place in the absence of the written word when the spiritual gifts were in place, that the miracle that occurred, the healing was instantaneous. It wasn't something that, you know, take two pills and call me in the morning, or a progressive thing. From that very hour, she was healed. She had great faith. This is important. We find as we go on into the New Testament age, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to look at two generations of mothers. You know, it's interesting that from generation to generation, mindsets can change. And it usually changes because somebody does not continue in something. And in this particular case, we find the mother and the grandmother of Timothy that had both been faithful to the Lord. Both of them were mothers. And this grandmother, who was the mother of Timothy, had faith. This mother of Timothy had faith. And they saw to it that the child was so directed that he too would have great faith. And as the Apostle Paul was directed to write there, he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith." This is a real, living, vibrant faith. "The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Why do we need mothers of faith today? Just like the old poem says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." The great influence that we have upon our children. We bring up our children properly, and in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, we show them the benefit of having great faith. And they, whether they're going to become a mother or whether they're going to become a father, they too can have that great faith. Yes, we need more faith, and we need mothers with faith. Secondly, mothers are those who might become mothers who understand priorities. And this is equally important because sometimes those who lose their faith is because their priorities are wrong. We all have priorities. Now, my wife is a list maker. We were talking about something the other day. Oh, a particular situation that came up. And I asked someone, I did, "Do you remember to do such and such once a month or so?" You know, I thought about that. And I told myself I was going to do it. And I was talking to Linda about it, and she said they make fun of me because of my list. But you know what? We don't forget it because it's on the list. And each time, each month, we check it off. Why? Because it's a priority. Those things that are on the list are not just to keep me busy. Friends, I've got plenty to keep me busy. Linda has plenty to keep her busy. It is because we prioritize these things. These things are important in the course of a month to get them done. And then they are finished, and we don't have to worry about them until the next month. Priorities in life are of extreme importance. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and through 42, we see two women. Now, again, we're not told that they are mothers, but they are women. They might would become mothers. And they had two different priorities. We're very familiar with Martha. We're very familiar with Mary. I've been in households where one is busy taking care of the needs of the house and getting food and everything, and somebody would tell her, "Martha, sit down. Listen to what's being said here." They were talking about these ladies. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." If you underline in your Bible, "heard his word," this is a very important part of this narrative. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?'" Why do I have to do all the work? That's what she was saying. Shouldn't she be up helping me? Hey, she is a woman. She's supposed to be getting the food ready and whatever the case may be. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" But notice verse 42. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What happened? She realized the Son of God was sitting there teaching in their home. And she took her position to listen. She prioritized. She put God first. She put the words that Jesus was saying to them while he was there in the flesh first. Mothers today need to prioritize. Put God first in your life, in the lives of those with whom you interact day by day. your family. In Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, again, we're not told if this woman was a mother, but she also had great faith, and it had an impact upon her life. This was just before the birth of Christ, or at the time of the birth of Christ. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was a great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What was the first thing in her life? Serving God. This is the kind of mothers that we need. Those who prioritize. Those who have great faith. Those who realize and understand that what the Lord has said is of utmost importance. And you can't talk about mothers and those who speak of prioritizing properly without speaking of the mother of our Lord. Perhaps the best advice is found in John chapter 2 and verse 5. We know the situation when they were at a wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, and a situation came up, and all of a sudden there was a need. And the Lord's mother brought it to their attention. And she gave advice in verse 5 that shows how we, all of us, whether we are mothers, fathers, or whomever, are to prioritize. But this is a mother who did this. She said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Prioritize the Lord and the Lord's commandments in our lives. Those mothers that have great faith, that understand priorities, are going to be mothers who teach their children. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we see what the psalmist, the wise man was directed to write there in the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He goes on to say to these people in these writings, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. These things are important. We must teach our children. And usually, in a normal situation, the mother is the one who spends more time with the children. You know, I never thought about that a whole lot. My job, as I saw it, was going out and working, earning some money, buying groceries, so that the mother and the child and the father could have something to eat. But I have responsibility as well. But I readily shifted that responsibility to his mother. As I grew and as I learned, I realized I have a part in this as well. But know that mothers are the ones who usually have the greatest impact upon the children relative to the way that they're brought up. In Proverbs chapter 6, we have very much the same thing. My son, keep, in verse 20 and 22, my son, keep the father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. They are told in verse 21, bind them continually upon thine heart. In other words, keep them close. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. That's telling us that they were teaching. They were constant. They were continual. They were making sure that these people understood. And we see the thing we go into the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This same person of whom we spoke about the mother and the grandmother's faith. Notice what Timothy was told. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught him? These scriptures wherein he learned about salvation, the Old Testament scriptures, were taught to him by his mother and his grandmother. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There are many passages that are generic in that they are not directed toward father or mother, but it's important. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 is one, and it goes right along with this idea of teaching. And the mother, according to God's plan for the home, is to raise and to teach the children along with the father's help. But notice there, as those Israelites were given this directive from God, that the mothers were to continue to teach their children, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's the ones who have great faith. That's the ones who properly prioritize. And they teach their children. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." In other words, you are to make it a priority in your life to teach your children this way, so that they will be led by them, so that they will give them comfort when they sleep. When they are walking about, they will be in their minds. As we continue on, we see in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Teach them diligently to thy children." Notice this. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Friends, it is basically saying, mothers, immerse your children in the Word of God. Why? Because it's going to be important to them later on. And it's going to be important to you as a mother. Mothers are those who might become mothers who emphasize the inward person. This is what is needed today. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, we see it's talking about how we look. And, you know, I look out on this audience this morning and we have mothers here and you all look nice. Properly attired, your hair fixed. I can't say much for you guys, but we're talking about mothers today. And I appreciate the fact we come and we're here to serve God and we look like we're here to serve God. But it's not the outward adorning that makes the difference. Let's look at that passage. "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and the wearing of gold, or putting of apparel." Now keep in mind, there's nothing wrong with the wearing of gold. There's nothing wrong with fixing your hair. There's nothing wrong with putting on apparel. As a matter of fact, I think everyone should put on apparel. But notice what he says in verse 4. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price." Women of old adorned themselves thusly. They trusted in God. They were in subjection to their own husbands. It is important that mothers emphasize the inward person. In Esther chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, speaking of Esther, appearing before King Ahasuerus, "And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for purification, which things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids to the best place of the women, of the house of the women. Esther had not shown her people, nor her kindred, nor for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her." And we know the story of Esther. She had lost her parents at a young age, and she had this uncle, and he took her in, and he raised her just as if she was his. And he monitored her progress as she continued on. And yes, she was attired properly. She was prepared to meet before the king as he called upon these women, and one of them were going to be chosen as his wife. But in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, we see Mordecai's words for Esther to ponder. "And as she searched her inner self, she did the right thing to save her nation, to save her people." She was in a very difficult situation. She was even so bold that she came before the king one time without being asked. And that was a no-no. But notice, there in verses 13 and 14, Esther 4, "Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And notice these final phrase, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? She was there. She dedicated herself to God. She controlled the inner person, and in so doing, saved that nation. We know that there are passages that talk about adorning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Also, again, a contrast with the outward adornment and the inner. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. But notice this, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Why? Because they have faith. Because they understand priorities. Because if they are mothers, they will teach their children, and they will focus upon their inner self that they might be able to do these things. What mothers are needed today? Mothers are those who might become mothers who are actively involved. And there's a lot to be actively involved in. There is the household, to making sure that the children are taken care of and provided for and brought up properly. But there's also the work of the Lord. Oftentimes I think that sometimes Christians, males and females, think, well, it's the preacher or the elder's job. We all need to be actively involved in our service to God. We all need to be actively involved in the work of the church in service to God. And what is the work of the church? It is to make sure that everyone out there in the world hears the truth, has the opportunity to obey it. Let's look at a couple of folks who were actively involved in different ways. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 39, we see a young woman. We oftentimes refer to her as Dorcas, but this passage tells her she was named Tabitha. But notice, as we pick up in verse 36, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, alms deeds and good deeds and things that you do and provide for other people, that's not going to save you. But they will come forth from a proper inner self, one that fears God, one that puts Him first, one that understands their priorities. This poor woman, came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there, and they sent him two men unto him, desiring him that he not delay to come to them. He arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. She did good things and helped those people. Maybe provided them garments that they didn't have. And there's nothing wrong with that. But she was industrious. She was active. She was involved. And these were her sisters she was helping. Her sisters in the Jewish situation. Not necessarily her blood relatives. And there are others that were active. And this is of the better activity. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, verses 24, beginning. We're very familiar with this passage. We know that there are those who have a knowledge of the truth and who hear others speak, who men who get up and speak, who need to be properly educated, properly instructed. And there's a right way to do this, but only if these women become active and remain active. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. There was a bit of confusion there at that time. There were those who had been baptized under John's baptism, but had not been baptized into Christ. And this man was going about teaching and preaching. And yes, he may have been preaching about Jesus, but he needed to be properly instructed. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Notice, if you will, that phraseology. whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they actually heard his teaching. They actually realized that he was not a member of the body of Christ because he had been baptized in John's baptism and not been baptized into Christ. And then they took him off to the side, and they, husband and wife, together spoke to him, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And we know what happened. Apollos became a very diligent help in serving God and doing his will and spreading the gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because this woman, along with her husband, was very active in the service of God, in the spreading of the gospel, in the helping to bring about the continued faithfulness and the proper obedience of one who had been improperly instructed. And finally, we'll speak of another woman. In Acts chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. This was a woman who was active. She was industrious. She was an entrepreneur, if you will. This is a certain woman named Lydia. We're very familiar with her. She was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. She worshiped God. She heard us, and it says, whose heart the Lord opened. In other words, the gospel was preached. She allowed herself to gladly receive that word. The Lord didn't make her hear it, but she heard the word. She opened her heart, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And Paul obviously was preaching the gospel, because it says immediately following there, and she was baptized and her household. Then she besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She literally begged them, please come and stay at my house. If you count me worthy, come stay at my house. Why? I suspect because she was already an active type person, because she had zeal, because she loved the Lord, and because she wanted to know more. These are the mothers that are needed today. To reiterate, mothers that have great faith. Now, faith doesn't come about by just saying, I want faith, or just having some system of belief. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so mothers, women, those of us, you, who may become mothers, know that we need to stay in the word to have that great faith. Mothers, or those who might become mothers, who understand priorities. What is your number one thing in this life? And yes, family is important. I never will forget when it was explained to me in a very kind, honest way that I was not the most important thing to my bride. Nor was it our son. It was God. That is where the priorities are. Our relationship with God is the most important relationship we will have in this life. And yes, we can still be a mother or father, as the case may be. We can still be a child, but we have to prioritize. And as such, mothers, teach your children. Stop and think about it. Our children today are the church of tomorrow. And how sad it is that so many children fail to obey the gospel or fail to remain faithful, or fail to continue to walk the path that the Lord would have us walk. We wonder why that in a couple of generations, churches go from being strong, vibrant, active beacons in the community to those who are just mainstream religious bodies that preach and teach to keep people happy, to keep the building filled, to keep the flow of money coming. I'll tell you why. Because many mothers have allowed others to teach their children. Emphasize the inward in your life. You'll be happier. Oh, it's work, but you'll be happier. You'll be more satisfied. You'll sleep better at night. And be actively involved. Ask, what can I do to help the work of the church? The mothers needed today are to be like all Christians. We're to take God's word and God's invitation to all. That's part of our commitment to God. Yes, I'm going to do my part in taking God's message to everyone. What is that message for salvation? It is important that people realize and understand what they must do in order to be saved. They must hear the word. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if a person is going to have faith, they have to go to the word of God to establish and continue and maintain that faith. One must also believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24, Jesus said to them, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. One must also repent. That means turn away from that old life. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe it is, that when a person becomes a child of God, they become a new creature. You can't become a new creature and remain what you were. You've got to repent. You've got to turn away from that life. What does Acts 17:30 tell us? In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But notice this. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You should see a change in the life of a person who is obeying the gospel, who is learning, who is reading the word of God, who is wanting to do what God would have done. And before they can become a child of God, they must confess before man that Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But the process of salvation is not complete yet. One must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us, the like figure, whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. That is when a person becomes saved. When they have heard the word, when they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when they've repented of their sins and confessed before men that Christ is the Son of God and are baptized into Christ. But salvation is not realized until we get to the end of our lives and having been faithful. The whole congregation in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 was told, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's what a person must do in order to become a child of God. You know, it's sad that sometimes people have heard the word, they believed, repented, confessed, were baptized, and then they allowed themselves to be pulled back into the world and are mired in sin. God had a plan for that as well. Simon was the first of those. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, he was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It is possible that there are those here who have realized sin in their lives, children of God. And if it's sin of a private nature, you can address it where you stand or sit by repenting, praying, and asking forgiveness. But if, like Simon, your prayer was that of a public nature, you brought shame and reproach upon the church, know that it is required that you come back into proper fellowship with the body and with the Lord. This is the opportunity that you have. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you have this opportunity now. You must surrender yourself to the Lord and to his commandments. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.